You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Big Gay Out was held by the Burnett Foundation on Sunday, and appearances from some politicians were met with controversy, ending with a protester's removal from the main stage. There have been discussions of a $9 toll to finance a new harbour crossing this week, while Auckland Council's Value for Money Committee has also commenced for 2026. I spoke to Councillor Julie Ferry about these topics alongside new council initiatives that utilise AI. Big Gay Out was on Sunday, huge celebration, but there was also some unrest during the political segment of the programming. What are your thoughts on the presence of politicians at an event like this?
Well, first to say that I love going to Big Gay Out. My now 10-year-old has really enjoyed it for the last few years, so we always try to go, and we were there this year. I wasn't there when they had the politician segment, and I know that it has become sort of increasingly controversial because we do have politicians at the national level who are making homophobic and transphobic statements, putting in place policies that attack those communities. And so, and of course, Pride has always been political. And so there is this tension there between acknowledging the role that politicians have in making positive change and the politicians who do champion issues for the queer community and indeed maybe queer themselves, you know, a number of queer politicians were on the stage, with the fact that we have other politicians who are not friends to the rainbow issues. So I really feel for the Burnett Foundation actually who organised this, because it's a sign that they want to acknowledge, especially in an election year, politicians who do the good stuff and are part of the queer community. They probably also feel they have to give equal space to all the parties, but not all the parties are are friendly, and a number of parties in particular in this term, National New Zealand First and ACT, have been supporting really regressive, painful policies like the block on puberty blockers, the ban on puberty blockers for trans youth. So I can understand they need to, as organisers, they want the community to be politically involved, and they want to acknowledge the politics, the politics that affects people's everyday lives, but also there are some politicians who are doing bad stuff. So I think it's okay that those parties were called out on the day. I actually think that's quite a healthy part of democracy. I think for the Burnett Foundation and the organisers, if what they're wanting is something that is purely celebration, I don't know, I'm not part of the community, so it's not my place to say, but maybe those two things don't mix. And so that is a challenge, I think, for the organisers and for the community at large.
And there's been talk of a possibility of a $9 toll introduced to finance a new harbour crossing in Tāmaki. What power would Aucklanders have to weigh in on this decision?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting one because it seems to be changing pretty much daily. So we had the National Infrastructure Plan work released by the Infrastructure Commission, which is a nationally focused piece of work. But then alongside that, we also have a whole lot of work that Auckland's doing on its own infrastructure, including in the transport space. And funnily enough, an additional harbour crossing across the Waitemata isn't actually something that politically we've been talking about on Auckland Council. Sometimes government has come to us and said, hey, we're doing work on this and we've given some input, but they largely seem to be progressing without us. And I guess part of that is because it will be NZTA, it will be national infrastructure. But the reality is that the number of vehicles crossing Harbour Bridge peaked some years ago and has been dropping, while the number of people crossing Harbour Bridge has increased significantly because people are shifting mode from private car to bus. And someone pointed out today on the radio, actually people who catch the bus are effectively paying a toll and they don't have a choice to go by bike or walk for free. So, I would prefer that we talked about, well, actually, do we need an additional harbour crossing? What modes would it focus on? and then sort of work backwards from, is this actually a solution we need, and then work out the financing. At the moment, it's looking pretty unaffordable to do a project like this. So should it actually be a priority? And Auckland's about to, Auckland Council, as we take on more responsibility from Auckland Transport, we're about to do a 30-year integrated transport plan for the city, and there will be opportunities to give input on that. But the conversation about, like, tolling the bridge or whatever's going to potentially happen there, there will be opportunities for input if local government has a say, because we have to consult. Central government, not so much. You know, they don't consult on their own budget, for example, whereas we consult excessively on ours, and we'll be doing so from the 27th of February.
And this week, Council's Value for Money Committee has recommenced for 2026. Could you tell us a bit about this, Ropu?
Yeah, so I'm actually on this committee. I was on the equivalent committee that had a different name last term as well. And so this is the committee that is really focused on how do we become more efficient as an organisation? How do we make savings? And it's important to note that the word in the title there is value. So it's not necessarily all about cutting costs and saving money. It is actually about what is the best value. So sometimes that might be spending more to get more, not necessarily always spending less to get the same. It's really interesting. We had a session this week on the priorities for the term and possible goals to achieve. There are savings targets that are already in the budget, some of them quite ambitious, saving over $100 million a year in what we spend, which is quite a lot of money. And every year this committee has been overseeing savings, so efficiencies effectively, rather than cuts. But we've done most of the low-hanging fruit in terms of the easy stuff to make efficient, and now we start to, in the coming years, get into the conversations that are potentially more difficult, where people might see change in their community and the way that services are delivered that they may or may not like. And so that's going to be a really interesting challenge over this term, is how do we continue to become more efficient without necessarily compromising the services that a lot of people expect to be delivered.
And last month, Council spoke about trialling AI technology to try and reduce recycling errors. What other ways does Council harness AI at the moment? Could you share any?
Yeah, so Council's been working on an AI, I guess, chatbot, which chatbots have a bad rep, but it's being tested sort of in, I don't know if it's called beta testing, I'm not quite sure what phase of the testing it's in at the moment, but in a sort of online assistant called Ask Auckland Council that you can ask for information, and it will be able to trawl through all of the online information that Council has, which is a lot, and direct people to the right stuff. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that works, because as I say, chatbots, I've used them, sometimes when you stay in a hotel, they have the thing and you can ask it questions, and I've found it incredibly frustrating. Or you use a utility provider and it's like, ask our AI assistant, and sometimes that works to find information. So that's being actually tested by elected members at the moment. I haven't tried it out myself yet, but they just gave us the code for that on Tuesday. But there's also some other AI stuff that's really interesting, and the recycling one is a type of this, where we're using AI with cameras to pick up stuff that the human eye might miss. And so the ability of AI to process a large amount of visual data and go, hey, there's waste in that recycling bin that is contaminating it. So as opposed to having to manually check that bin, right? So that's the recycling one. But also in a different context, train platforms. So we have cameras focused on all the train platforms, and we now have, AT's been working on AI to go, if an object moves in too close to the edge of the platform, it sets off not an alarm, but it brings that camera to the attention of the human being that's watching the cameras, so they can direct the staff working on the platform to go and go, hey, hang on a second, what's going on here? And, you know, for example, it might be a child that's getting too close to the end, or someone who's been, you know, an adult who's been pushed or whatever. So that's a safety thing. They're looking at similar tech and pools as well to assist lifeguards where people might be having trouble and they're under the water and hard to see. So there's some quite cool stuff like that, but very mindful of the environmental impacts of AI, looking to do it in ways that are efficient and don't do some of the bad stuff we've seen around data centres and things like that. Yeah.
That was Councillor Julie Ferry on politics at Big Gay Out, tolling a new harbour crossing, local government's value for money committee and council's use of AI.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.